Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I've been a union lecturer since 1999. This is the hardest times I have seen since I have been in the building trade.
Efforts to revitalize Los Angeles and create new jobs. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for September 22, 2011. I'm Regina Graham. The Metro Transit Authority Board approved today starting construction on a new light rail line to run along Crenshaw Boulevard. The project will run 8.5 miles from the Green Line near LAX to the Expo Line at a cost of $1.7 billion. Still unclear is whether the new line will have an underground stop at Leimert Park Village. The board did not require a Leimert Park stop, but it specified that contractors who include one will be favored. The new line is expected to bring jobs and better mobility to South LA. The FBI and LA police today announced hundreds of arrests and formerly unsolved gang murders. Ariel Edwards Levy has more.
The arrests were part of a 3-month program called Save Our Streets. It was designed to help overworked South LA police. On average, they resolve less than half of their gang cases. FBI agent Robert Clark says unsolved murders can lead to a loss of faith in law enforcement.
All too often is the case when a family member is murdered. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't understand the process. And it becomes very frustrating wondering, you know, what's going on? Are they going to solve the case? Are they going to catch anyone? And they become, you know, extremely disenfranchised with the police department, the criminal justice system.
Clark says the Save Our Streets program solved more than 70% of its cases. That included an arrest in the Christmas Day murder of Kashmir James, a 25-year-old mother.
I had the opportunity to meet with the family of Kashmir James, and they could not have been more thankful. Certainly, we will never be able to bring Miss James back, but we are able to allow that family to begin the process of healing because they know that justice has been served.
Law enforcement are touting the 168 arrests made since July. But they also say thousands of cases remain unsolved. Clark says he hopes the program will continue, but that the reduction in crime could make it less of a priority. The final decision lies with the FBI and police management. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
A new report says LA sheriff's deputies are more likely to mistakenly shoot Black and Latino men than white or Asian men. The study was done by the Police Assessment Resource Center. Shootings where deputies mistakenly think they see someone reaching for a gun are up 50% over the last year. President Obama went to Cincinnati, Ohio today to push the American Jobs Bill. He spoke from an aging bridge that connects Ohio with Kentucky, two states represented by powerful Republican leaders, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. While the president was making his political point in Ohio, some L.A. residents took up the cause from an overpass in South L.A. Kelsey Sumnick has more.
The activist organization Good Jobs LA waved signs and handed out leaflets to passing cars on an overpass of the 110 freeway this morning in support of President Obama's American Jobs Act. The activists are residents of the South LA community and gathered on the overpass that is structurally deficient. If passed, the Jobs Act would provide funding for such projects. Pamela Hall says the act would connect unemployment worries with infrastructure needs.
So today we're here in our first demonstration to show that this bridge needs to be fixed and create jobs and bring jobs back to our community.
If passed, the act will save or create over 51,000 jobs building California's roads, highways, bridges, and mass transit. Jacob Hay said that passing the act would benefit the entire community.
Well, the condition of our country and our city's basics, the roads, schools, bridges, it affects all of us. L.A. traffic is the most congested in the nation. Potholes on the roads contribute to need for car repairs and accidents. It creates dangerous conditions. And then, of course, the unemployment crisis in our communities, that impacts everyone as well.
Stay tuned for more on job creation in transportation later in the show. For Annenberg Radio News, this is Kelsey Sumnicht.
Another voice was added today to the debate about redrawing district lines in Los Angeles County. The county held a press briefing this morning to discuss proposed maps. Three new maps were proposed, including two that would redraw lines to better reflect communities that are majority Latino. Ronnie Woods, redistricting manager at the L.A. County Federation of Labor, thinks the new map will lead to better representation.
What we are supporting, we believe, better represents the community in its whole, collectively. Not just the Latino community, but all people.
The Board of Supervisors will vote on maps next Tuesday. Woods doesn't think any of the new maps have the votes to replace the status quo. Today is the last day of summer. Appropriately, things are cooling down just a little. Tonight will be clear with a low of 62. Tomorrow, bright and sunny with a high of 82. This weekend, we'll have cloudy skies with highs in the 70s. No cutting down to size. No other thoughts arise in the summer. Later on Annenberg Radio News, how the fight against terrorism could have an impact on the 2012 election. A new study released by the RAND Corporation concludes that medical marijuana dispensaries lead to lower crime levels. As Melissa Reynolds reports, law enforcement doesn't agree.
A new study released by the RAND Corporation concludes that medical marijuana dispensaries decrease crime levels. The RAND Corporation study looked at crime rates in the areas surrounding 600 dispensaries. 170 of those shops closed after the LA City Council passed an ordinance shutting 70% of dispensaries last year. The study claims crime increased up to 60% within the three-block radius of the dispensaries after closing. Within six blocks, the rate was 25%. The LAPD has no official response yet to the study, but Department spokesman Lieutenant Andy Nyman did say,
"I can tell you that we know very factually that there have been very serious crimes at certain pot dispensaries, including burglary, robbery, and also murder."
Lieutenant Nyman says the study's conclusions don't match the LAPD's experience.
You know, it's something that has always been contrary to the common wisdom of law enforcement.
LAPD is considering whether it will conduct its own study of the issue. Americans for Safe Access, a medical marijuana advocacy group, has conducted studies which echo RAND's findings. Don Duncan, the group's California director, says the LAPD's response is typical.
I'm not surprised to see law enforcement skeptical. They've ignored research on this topic and the experiences we've had in the past.
Duncan hopes that the study will help convince cities to regulate, not ban, medical marijuana.
The most important thing that our elected officials could realize is that they can regulate medical cannabis. It's not too dangerous. It's not too complicated. And I hope the RAND study helps reinforce that point, that regulation is really the way to go.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate that, sir.
Glad to help. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The study's author cautions that the study is a snapshot of the issue and welcomes the opportunity to review more data. Melissa Runnels, Annenberg Radio News. The study's author cautions that the study is a snapshot of the issue and welcomes the opportunity to review more data.
The L.A. County Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board voted today to adopt a policy that will give construction jobs to local and disadvantaged workers. Aaron Schrenk reports on today's MTA meeting.
A parade of union workers, job advocates, and clergy lined up today in support of the MTA's construction careers policy. The new policy calls for local hiring on large construction projects using federal stimulus funds. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says that this initiative and those like it will improve both the economy and infrastructure in the city.
This is a win-win. Let's double the size of our rail system. Let's repair our streets, our roads, and our bridges. Let's clean up the air and invest in people. Let's create jobs.
Under the policy, 30% of the workers hired by contractors will be from areas near the construction site and from zip codes identified as low income. 10% of workers must be L.A. County residents identified as disadvantaged. Another important aspect of the new policy is the inclusion of a pre-hire collective bargaining agreement between contractors and labor organizations aimed at preventing work stoppages. The unemployment rate for construction workers is higher than that for the average American, at more than 13% nationally. Union workers voiced support for the policy, hoping to find work.
How you doing? My name is Anthony Mitchell. I've been a union electrician since 1999. This is the hardest times I've seen since I have been in the building trades. I've been an electrician. In the last few years, I've only worked 4 months out of each year. Okay, I am facing foreclosure right now with my property, which will put myself, my daughter, and my two grandkids out on the streets.
Because the new MTA policy depends on federal funds, Villaraigosa called for support for Obama's American Jobs Act.
If we pass the American Jobs Act, we can accelerate funding for Measure R. We can increase and reauthorize the Transportation Act, which is even money over and above Measure R, and we could put these good people back to work. So again,
now that the MTA board has voted to adopt the policy, they'll begin negotiating details with union groups. Aaron Schrenk, Annenberg Radio News.
It's been 10 years since the 9/11 attacks, but the fight against terrorism continues to take center stage in our national debate. Eric Schmidt and Tom Schenker have written a new book on the tactics in the post-9/11 world. It's called Counterstrike, the Untold Story of America's Secret Campaign Against Al-Qaeda. Today, I talked with Eric Schmidt, a Washington correspondent for the New York Times, about the book. And if you could just talk briefly about what your book is about and why do you think it was important to get that story out there?
What we found was, as we looked at this, we've gone from a position right after the 9/11 attacks where the U.S. really didn't know very much about al-Qaeda or terrorist networks and addressed it very ham-handedly, and to a point where they also, the instinctive reaction, perhaps understandably after 9/11, was to try and use military forces, intelligence, to kill and capture its way to victory, and that really wasn't successful. So what we do is we track how the government became much better at assessing al-Qaeda, understanding the network and how it operates, and then figuring out better ways of attacking it, not just with bombs and bullets, but other ways as well, going and attacking them through the internet and using other agencies of the government, the State Department, of course, using its diplomats more aggressively in counterterrorism, the FBI with more agents overseas, even the Treasury Department, which is responsible as the lead agency for trying to combat terrorist financing in different parts of the country.
With the 2012 election right around the corner, what do you think is going to be the biggest battle for Obama with the war on terrorism?
Well, interesting enough, I think we've seen the trajectory of troops are coming out of Iraq. They're supposed to be virtually out at the end of this year, although there may be a negotiation with the Iraqi government to leave some small number in as trainers. The number of American forces coming out of Afghanistan continues. So I think actually one of the bigger arguments we're going to have here is on the budget. Hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake in the defense budget, the intelligence budget, and the budget of the Department of Homeland Security. And now with, I think, people understanding the risks from terrorism a little bit better, understanding that while the risk of a big attack, a 9/11 scale attack coming out of the tribal areas of Pakistan is probably much less than it was on 9/11, the threat of smaller scale attacks coming from al-Qaeda's affiliates in places like Yemen or from radicalized Americans here inside the United States actually is probably a little bit higher than it was on 9/11. So I think we have to balance out what the threat is here. It's probably on a smaller scale, but understanding the risks here probably don't require the amount of spending that we're doing, or at least we can, at the very least, spend a lot smarter. The only thing else we conclude in our book is that despite perhaps the likelihood of a large-scale attack being less than it was on 9/11, we still say there will be another attack of some sort, more likely to be a smaller-scale attack. And it's really the responsibility of politicians and leaders, political leaders in this country, starting with President Obama, to talk more openly about that and talk more about what we call resiliency, and not just the resiliency of rebuilding buildings and structures and things like that, but psychological resilience. It's like what the Brits and the Israelis have, and they've gained it over, unfortunately, long years of experience in dealing with terrorists, so that when the next attack does come, and we believe it will be, that Americans don't overreact to that, because that's exactly what the terrorists would want.
Thank you again for coming in.
Okay, well, thank you.
That was Eric Schmidt, a co-author of the book Counterstrike. The latest Republican presidential debate is coming up tonight in Florida. We talked to UNRU, Institute Director and Republican Advisor Dan Schnur, about what to watch for. He says that although there will be nine candidates on stage, it's really a two-man showdown between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry.
Well, Mitt Romney very badly wants the primary issue of debate to be Social Security, because Romney and his advisors believe that Perry has taken an overly extreme position that could be harmful to not only his candidacy, but to the Republican Party. Perry's going to talk about several different things. He continued to talk, as he has in the past, about Texas's record of job creation, and to point out why Romney's record on health care is one that should make Republican primary voters concerned. So if it's up to Romney, it's going to be about Social Security. If it's up to Perry, it's going to be about health care. And both of them, not surprisingly, are going to spend most of their time talking about economic growth and job creation.
The debate is being hosted by Fox News and Google. You can catch it tonight at 6 o'clock local time. Now we check in with Rhiannon Chutanich to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Poverty in the U.S. Census reports, employment is down 12% for recent college graduates. We got reaction from USC students today at the career fair. We'll also have information on the Facebook updates that has everyone talking with a new announcement and new layout. We also spoke with nurses during the second day of their strike. These stories and more, tune into ATVN at 6 on Trojan Vision or catch us on the web at ATVN.org.
Rhiannon, what was the general consensus today at the career fair going on?
Students are very interested in getting jobs, naturally, but they don't seem to be very concerned. They're just acting a little bit more aggressively when they're speaking to recruiters.
Walking by, it was a really packed crowd out there, and seen a lot of familiar faces from last year, students who graduated from the program. Do you think that the jobs that were there were ready to hire?
I spoke with one recruiter, and she told me they're hiring 70 new people in the next hiring group. So it looks like a good outlook, and people are being pretty optimistic.
Cool. Thank you so much. And be sure to tune in tonight to Annenberg TV News on Trojan Vision. Thank you. We're tweeting regularly, and we love to hear from you in the Twittersphere. Our handle is Annenberg Radio. And keep clicking on our website, AnnenbergRadio.org, for more news about South Los Angeles. It might be hard to believe when you're on the road, but LA commuters don't have it all that bad. A new census report says the average SoCal commute takes 28 minutes. That's 17th in the nation, behind cities like New York and Chicago, where the average commute takes more than half an hour. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Sarah Zahidi and Yvette Sanchez. Sarah Golden is the producer. Arielle Edwards-Levy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Regina Graham.